I'm Katie.
I'm Kylie.
And this is
You're Not Paranoid.
We're like always in the red? What happened?
That's, is that just how it looks like? It's red when it's recording.
Oh.
That's better.
It's supposed to look like that. That's what she said. Mm. He said? They said.
They said.
We to said. To each other. Oh man.
We just got demonetized.
Is that when like a demon takes your money?
Basically, aka YouTube.
Uh-huh.
People always joke about getting demonetized on YouTube for playing other videos or music.
Oh, but if it's a parody.
Yeah, satire.
And you can't make fun of us. We can't get sued because we're having fun on our podcast. We're Katie and Kylie. We're going to talk about things that we get scared of. I can keep going. Here is the bridge into the next chorus. And that's it. I could keep going, but you're making me laugh, and it's like I'm gonna just keep doing the same tune. I don't know anything else.
Because I was like, I was a little too old for
correct.
That. Is that the same song where it's like, da na na, da na na, da na na?
Isn't that that sounds like Shakira?
Oh, it kind of does.
Whatever. We're meant to be together. That's what
I think it's like, come on now.
I think I know what you're talking about. I can't sing it.
Yeah, I don't know nor if do I it's have the same High School Musical song or not.
I think it's the same. Oh, I don't know that either. I think it is High School Musical. Whether or not it's the same song.
Yeah.
Not too sure. Also, I was too old for that. Or I told myself I was too old. But yeah, I watched shows like Roly Poly Oly, which were for long. Katie almost choked on her tea. Which are for littler kids.
Were we having that conversation where you, was it you that was saying that you felt betrayed because Roly Poly Oly was a robot and not a roly poly? Or is that another podcast I was listening
Probably to? Another podcast, but I do like that. I like that argument or that concern. That's valid.
Yeah, because the children were like, oh no, that's a roly poly. Oh. And then someone like looked it up. And they're like, no, that was a family of robots.
Right. I understand. It's weird because no one really talked about what they were. They mm-hmm. just kind of existed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's roly poly oly. Mm-hmm. He's small and short and round.
It's like, why do I know that?
He's smallest, smartest kid around. Uh-huh. Something like that.
I think
he's roly poly. Mm-hmm. Hooray. Yeah. And the grandpa is like, but there were differences in people though. They were like square versus round mm-hmm. versus.
It was probably a subliminal robots. Messaging for kids to distinguish
yeah,
others.
Like, right. And like, here's not humans. Learn about their differences and then reflect on our own differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do I know that?
It? Oh, probably.
Yeah. I feel like that was definitely not my because I was growing up with the old school Barney and yeah. Lamb Chop and
oh yeah same
what was the other one
Sesame Street's been around forever.
You know, I don't think I watched much Sesame Street
neither,
when I was little.
Neither did I.
Yeah, my parents were like, you won't be listening to the public broadcasting.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Those liberal
you're
free education
private everything yeah. from a very young age. Private broadcasting, private elementary.
Mm-hmm. And here I am.
And look how you turned out.
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly anti all of that. No, I'm just kidding. It does seem that way, though, that people who tend to be mm-hmm. categorized or raised to be a certain way end up the opposite because they don't know what else is out there.
Yeah.
At that young age.
Yeah, Mike Birbiglia has a funny joke, or it's like just one of the lines leading into a joke where mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, I was raised, I went to Catholic school, so I'm atheist.
I can see how that, yeah, how you just completely flip. Wow, my laugh, that went real spiky. Whoa, we see where that happened. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah. It's true.
It is true.
For a lot of people. Not everybody, but for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. I did ask my cousin, though, because she is in child development, getting her degree in child development. Like, early childhood. Yeah. I was like, just listening to her talk about her courses and what she's learned, it's like quite insane. So, because she wants to work with like preschoolers. Aww. And she's been babysitting forever. She knows blah, 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 all that stuff. But now she's getting like an actual, she understands babysitting and all that stuff, but she's not understanding the child development, like why we turn out the way we do. Ooh. And I know. And so she was learning that. I was like, how important is like really is elementary school? Because some people will actually move their like where they live so that they live in a better school district so that they can send their kids to better school. And so I'm the school district I live in, or the area I live in, the school district.
I live at the school.
Ew, that sounds so weird. But the area that I live in, the school district that my kids one day that I don't even have would go to is not super, like well established. It's not like a known good school district. And so, but to me, I'm like, personally, I was like, well, what does it really matter? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I was asking her, hoping that she would agree with me.
Oh no.
And she's like, well, actually when you're like 3 and 4, it's like when it matters the most, because that's when you're learning these social skills and learning and they say that your brain actually, like everything that you're gonna learn and like what you believe are your limitations in life. I'm probably not saying this completely properly, but from what I've learned lately and what she said is that you basically learn everything that you're capable of and the social norms and how things should be, quote unquote, based on how you're raised, up till age 7 or 8.
Dang.
After that, so if you want them to learn a new language, if you want them to be good at something, like that's the time to do it, which also seems kind of sad because you also want to be a kid, but to be a kid, you have to make it fun.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic.
Well, and that's what we saw too in the Enneagram stuff, where they're saying like your personality is basically formed by those ages too. So that makes sense.
Right. That's like everything else. Environmental factors and everything. So where we tend to discredit children, I feel like we're actually doing them probably. Ooh.
Hello. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh no, it's happening again.
I feel like people tend to discredit kids at such a young age, but really we should be putting all of the effort probably at that age. And then, you know, just let them run wild after that. Mm-hmm. And they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Be super disciplined when you're really, really young and then go from there. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's just interesting.
That'd be a good topic.
Yeah. Episode. Bring her in. But like, tell us about child development. Since it's all fresh in her mind from all of her courses.
And that's why adults go to therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
And learning all the stuff that you learned as a kid.
Yeah, it's wild. I was actually listening to a Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast by Kathy Heller. Episode on the way over here. I forgot what the doctor's name is. And now I'm going to kick myself. Ouch.
Is it the holistic psychologist?
Yes.
I just listened to that one too.
Dr. Nicole LePera.
Yeah, I want to get her book.
Yeah, I want all their book, everybody's book who's on that podcast. Yes, I will buy it. She was just talking about that today. Well, not today, literally, but when I listened to it, how you do like you're saying, you listen to it too. Mm-hmm. You tend to learn all those things at that young age, and now we're trying to undo, or not even undo per se, but acknowledge those things, and then work with them.
Yeah, it's kind of sad what you just said that I hadn't really thought of too. Part of it. No, it's okay. It's just like that you also learn, like you develop what you perceive as your limitations.
That's what I think she said at that. Yeah.
That's so sad.
And like she was talking about, Dr. LePera was saying how you learn in your own ability. Go listen to that episode, because of course isn't the whole, like there's so much more to it, but a short piece of it was, you learn how to be loved by, if I get good grades, then that is Kathy even brought up, like, you know what love is or is not based on, is like love isn't, is not a transaction. It's just given without reason, essentially. Yeah. I'm not writing it that right.
That kind of blew my mind. She was saying that like love isn't earned. Yes. It's given.
Yes. That's what I'm starting to say.
But I think for me, because I was always the like known as the smart kid. So I think that's how I received my love, was getting the good grades, because then I would get praise for it.
Right.
And I was like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can go down my own path. We'd be here for hours, but that's, I agree. Where mm-hmm. I got to a point, I remember being 8 years old or seven to eight years old, and my second grade teacher called me average.
Uh-oh.
That, I remember that day. That was my turning point in my life where I believe all of my insecurities kind of stem from. And it wasn't the teacher's fault. Mm-hmm. It's what my parents kind of used. I'm mm-hmm. not going to go into all that, but used that to then be like, well, my child's not average. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Mm-hmm. And then from, I feel like I missed that 7 to 8 year old cutoff where from 8 forward, I was then like working twice as hard to try to keep up. Because I wasn't, it wasn't instilled in me to be so disciplined and dedicated. I just like to have fun and play mm-hmm. with my Beanie Babies and my Barbies, right? Like that's mm-hmm. what we did from age 7 and under. So then from age 8 till 18, literally, mm-hmm. drill every single day. I remember being 8 years old and I was raised to be the best at my times tables such that I was, and it was timed. So it's like time. That's kind of funny. Times tables. So then you're doing it as like, who can finish first and who can get the most right. So then it got to a point where there's three of us at the top of our class and 8 years old trying to do our multiplication. Yeah. And while everybody else is still on their 8x8 series, I was doing algebra.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, I don't want to be this person. Like, I don't want to stand out. I don't mm-hmm. want, and my, I'm going to say family to keep it generic, was like, well, why not? When you can be the best, why not be the best?
Mm.
And I remember genuinely not giving a shit. And it, then at that point, like we're saying, it taught me. So the long-winded version of, yeah, the mm-hmm. only way to be feel loved was to do what I'm told, which is to be the best at my stupid multiplication or whatever. And then, of course, that evolved into other things.
Yeah, and that must be confusing to a kid, especially like you're saying, like, I don't, like, that didn't matter to me.
It didn't.
But it was the adults saying that this does matter.
So like, this matters, oh, okay. And, like, how you're perceived matters. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get ahead in this world at 8 years old, you better be the top of your class.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah, and you can see that, too. It's like, I feel like parents, there's either like two, well, just in terms of this, like, oh, like pressuring kids, you have the group that is academically driven and then you have the other group that are like sports driven.
Yeah.
I think both can be equally.
Oh, yeah.
Damaging psychology to a kid. But.
And yeah. I was going to say, and then that's and I acknowledge the fact that I'm grateful that I had a parents that cared enough because
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of kids struggle because their parents yeah. aren't involved or they kind of just say good luck, you know, learn that on your own. So there really is, that's what my cousin was saying. She's like, there's a very happy medium place that you have to find when raising kids, and we're not experts, and of course it's not easy, but you do have to be disciplined, prepare them for the real world, but you also need to be really empathetic and sweet and soft and teach, remind them that they're loved no matter what they get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be good at algebra to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really feel like that.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I saw a TikTok that kind of was that. It was like, were you like only given praise or like you perceived like your love was like from high test scores or this or that? And are you an adult now and you have like anxiety and this yeah. and that and this and that? I'm like, oh.
What if there are no more life tests to take to prove that you're worth like the love? Mm-hmm. And that's where exactly I totally agree with that. And like, I think, let me back up for a second. My perceived love, it wasn't like, oh, like if I did well, then my parents are saying I love you.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like, if I do well, I'm not in trouble. Therefore, mm-hmm. I must be loved. Whereas mm-hmm. if you do bad, then you're in trouble mm-hmm. and therefore you must not love me.
Yeah.
Because kids don't understand like that bigger notion of like, here's the lesson we're learning. They just understand trouble or not in trouble equals love or not loved.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're mean and mad, then you must not love me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get praise, then I must be doing something right. And I want that only. So I'm going to keep doing that thing, even if it's what I don't want.
Yeah.
Oh, I just solved all my problems. That's so upsetting and frustrating.
And that's another reason why I'm scared to be a parent.
Yeah, but that's how you learn, right? So like, I'm not going to go like my parents have kind of were raised one way. And then they told me themselves that they went the absolute opposite because they wanted the opposite of what they got to make it me better me. And I've decided that I'm not going to go opposite of me. I'm going to try to find a balance somewhere.
Yeah. I feel like, I think it was on even My Favorite Murder when they talk about like, you know, the era of like just letting kids go do whatever they want all day. And the parents are just like, yeah, whatever. And then you see that pendulum swing to when those people got to be adults and you had like the helicopter parents. And then now you, it kind of swings the other way of like, you know, the participation trophies and
the woo woo stuff.
Yeah. And then now it's like, hopefully it kind of
can this pendulum get like,
can we just take some of that energy off the pendulum and settle into the, the middle.
Yeah. It's, that would be great. And that's what I'm hoping for our generation.
Yeah. And I feel like I do have some hope because I feel like this generation at least is more like open in terms of like getting therapy and talking about mental health and like being more
empathetic,
like real and like, you know, not trying to like gloss over everything. So hopefully that will translate well into child raising, but
which is our future in society and all that. It's funny because I was talking to my fiance yesterday just about the whole child. We're talking about like our children, where we're sending them to school district, and then like when they go to college, where we want them to live. We're like, who are we? Like, this is just the generation of planners based on like how we were raised. We're like talking about our hypothetical kids that we don't have. I mean, we're going to have kids one day, but our kids and where we're going to send them to college. Like, maybe we should back up a little bit and like, let's focus on getting married first. And then we can worry about kids later.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's, I feel like because of that, we're like very hyper vigilant on how we want our lives to be, or kids' lives to be, just because it's, it's, there is no, I would say there's no complete right answer, but we definitely know there's a lot of wrongs.
Yeah. And that's probably what makes it hard.
We all have different versions of wrongs and to different extents that we've experienced. And it's not to say it's someone's fault. It's just, we have to learn from that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it hard. That's what makes us human. That's how society keeps going.
Yeah.
And in future episodes, we will probably get more into that as you will learn, but not this episode.
That was our,
that was our
deep dive mental health check.
Yeah, that was just a checking in. And now let's get deeper, shall we? Oh yeah, in case it's been, I don't know if we actually said it, but I'm Kylie.
And I'm Katie.
Hi.
Hello.
Here we are. Just like you said earlier, but we're saying it again.
We're saying it again.
This week, I'm I'm always excited slash excited to a different extent to talk on our podcast, because obviously there's some horrible things we talk about, but more enthusiastic, I guess, is the ready, maybe just ready, showing up.
Oh, she ready.
Just showing up and being present and ready for this discussion. But this one will be more fun than some other ones that we've covered and will cover in our future. This one is very woo-woo by a lot of standards.
But is it?
But is it? We'll find out. Ooh, I'm excited because you have a different... Okay, we're talking about astral projections. I'm just going to cut to that, Chase. Astral projections. The projecting of your astral body outside of your physical body.
Dang, it's spooky.
It's spooky. Is it spooky or is it enlightening?
Nah.
We'll find out. So... I will be talking about the science and the like some stories that some people have experienced and whatnot, and why people do this and kind of what's going on. And Katie, what will you be talking about?
The history of it. And maybe a story. But it's like I found a really cool story that kind of is both.
Ooh, yay.
So
perfect. Because I don't have like specific story. I have like a couple people's experience, like, you know what I'm saying? So we'll just see how this flows. We'll just let it happen, as they say. You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. So first, the way that I always like to lead things in the olden days are talking about movies that you can watch.
Oh no, here we go. Let me get my list out.
So, as you know, Katie hasn't seen any movies ever in her life. No, just kidding. Just some. So, or shows. So this one, this is actually what this particular show is what got me reminding me about astral projections. So I think we've talked about it before in our like sleep paralysis episodes and near-death experiences and like all those. Yeah. So the TV show I just recently watched on Netflix is called Behind Her Eyes. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
Okay. Are you going to watch it?
Maybe after this.
Okay. But I kind of want to spoil it.
You can spoil it. Okay. That's fine.
Spoiler alert. In this particular one, there's like articles about astral projections recently because that show came out. It's not, everything's not perfectly accurate the way that any movie or TV show, there's some drama. Mm-hmm. But essentially, there is like several twists and turns in the show. And I had the chills just like saying it. Where major spoilers, okay? So be careful. Essentially, I almost don't want to tell you because I want you to enjoy the spoil. Or not enjoy the spoil, wow.
Enjoy the spoils of war.
I don't want you to be, you know what I'm saying. I kind of want you to be surprised.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to.
But will you watch it?
Sure.
Okay. Wait, is that a real sure? Or
oh, no,
sure?
I probably will. Okay. I just haven't watched TV in a while.
That's your homework. I decided. Okay, behind her eyes. It's not scary.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that aspect. This next one is scary, though. It's called Insidious. It's a horror film, and there's several. I think there's three. And they do that where they astral project, and then they... Oh. This is also a spoiler. They go into the astral projections, and then they get stuck in there. So the sun astral projects, and then they get an expert to go get them. And then while they're there, they meet like a witch who then is trying to come back into the body of... You know, because you leave your body. Mm-hmm. We'll go into that. Doctor Strange, which is a Marvel superhero.
Oh,
that's he does astral projections as well. And also, I watched the show Dickinson, which is on Apple Plus. I feel like I'm doing an ad for these things. I just love TV and movies. That show's about Emily Dickinson, and it's like a dramatization of her stories and poems as they imagined as they came to be, or reimagined as they came to be. So it's like really fun modern twists. But in season two, she thinks that she's dead, but really she's astral projecting.
What?
And so she's going and seeing like all these events happening around her, but no one can see her because she's just...
Is that just the show doing that, or is there writing saying that she...
That's a great question. Didn't go into it. Ooh. I just remembered that in the show. And so I just guessed. But she... And Emily Dickinson was very... from what I recall... She was very intrigued by death. And so I think it's possible. I'd have to look up to give you an exact answer, which I don't have right now. Great question. And then Inception. These are just a few. There's several.
I've seen that one.
Yeah. Oh, good.
There we go.
So Inception, they go to different levels, right? Mm-hmm. Where their physical bodies are here, but they're kind of in a different place. I feel like to some extent, even The Matrix could even probably be considered a form of astral projection into a different realm, but... No one talked about that. I just came up with that.
There you go.
Maybe they're plugging in to do the astral projection. Anyways, so what is it? What is this astral projection? Have you seen The Matrix?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
1 out of 5 or however many.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 1 out of 6. You're failing. Just kidding. So astral projections are typically it's an intentional out-of-body experience. So they say it's somewhere in between like lucid dreaming and a near-death experience.
That's creepy.
Right. And according to some literature, humans, the way that this works, allegedly, because of course this is all anecdotal and that there's, I'll go into it. There's not a lot of information about this scientifically. But humans, according to literature, are made of several layers of, quote, interpenetrating bodies of varying vibrations. Typically there Katie's face is great. Typically there are 7, with the physical body being the densest and your spirit is the most subtle. As in you're able to like out of your body.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So all these vibrations are happening at once, and when they're all together, you are you. But when you astral project, you're able to leave that.
So like
part
one
of
the layers,
yeah,
leaves.
Is able to elevate. Correct. The problem with this, and this is the science part. So we'll. I don't actually. Do you want to do the history part first, or should I just go into the science and then we'll back it up?
If you want, I don't know. If you want to do it that way.
I don't mind either way.
I mean, you can keep going because mine's kind of more like general. So I don't know if you want to be like, I don't know if the science part like
overlaps,
kills the vibe of like, no, this isn't real.
But it's fun. So it does kill the vibe at first.
Okay.
But we're going to get into like the actual other parts of it too. So it's going to kill the vibe. I'd rather kill the vibe up front and then hype us up later than end on a killed vibe. So this is just science's take on these things, right? So the issue with science and measuring astral projections is that there is no way to measure it, like as to whether or not it's successful. What they think is happening as an explanation is that people are dreaming or fantasizing or imagining really deeply because they're typically in a, well, they're in like a sleep state when they do this. And of course, if there's historical stuff, I don't know what's wrong with my mouth today. Feel free to just jump in and add to it. So people who are good at astral projecting, I always thought it was astro. It's astral.
Astral.
So I might say astro because that's what I'm like comfortable saying in my head. People who can do astral projecting are also found to have higher scores on the hypnotizability scale.
Oh.
And are really good at fully immersing themselves into films, movies, plays, or even an imagined event like the guided imagery when you go to like counseling or therapy kind of thing. Which I feel like I would be good at that because I do get real. I think that's why I like movies because I immerse myself into it.
Let's astral project you.
I know. That's sorry. I just yelled. Yeah, maybe. That's kind of scary. So the thing is when people do experience astral projection, the reason it feels so real to them is that so many people feel the same things. And so when they talk about it, it's like, if you have it, I have it. It must be real. Right. But the interesting thing is the reason they all feel the same thing is because they're all taught the same thing.
Oh.
And so it's like, you're going to imagine this. You're going to imagine, you know, I think I just said that. Imagine and feel and try to get your body. So it's like, these are the shared experiences because they're literally being guided the same way.
Kind of like alien abductions and why they all sound the same.
Yeah, maybe they're all, or like even, exactly, and sleep paralysis. How often people see ghost people or the hooded figure, or the person with the hat, whatever.
Or it's all the same because it's real.
Or it's all the same because it's real, exactly. And they're just witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you know, people will say it's absolutely real because they feel it, but there's no proof. And this is where it gets really interesting. One of the articles was saying, okay, here's how we can prove it. It's really simple. What you're going to do is you're going to hide 10 unknown objects at different locations and then have the person astral project to go find it and describe it when they return. Because the astral projection is, you know, your like soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to describe it. Your spirit or astral body leaving your physical body. You can still witness things and see things because like in your dreams, how you can visualize, remember. Mm-hmm. Some people can astral project on demand because they are on command demand on. It's both. On demand.
It's on demand.
Because of so much practice. And so that's what they're kind of talking about as a way to prove it. And if astral projection was absolutely real and in control, they're saying, think about how much we could use this to our advantage. It would be really awesome if we could have someone like, you know, astral projection FBI agents go into hostage situations and save lives and be able to see what's going on, or even go, you know, be able to go through walls in or debris during a natural disaster and go find survivors and come back and say, here's where they are. Or even criminal investigations, literally being a fly on the wall, but rather it's a little astral ghost body on the wall. Listening in and, you know, on what criminals are talking about or whatever. There was one study done in 2014.
Ooh, so recent.
Not that long ago. And I found this on mindbodygreen.com at the University of Ottawa School of Psychology. So they did an fMRI, which I feel like it means like frequency or something like that.
Yeah, like did scanning brain waves.
Yeah, exactly. They did an MRI to watch her brain activity while this woman was guided to move out of her body through astral projection. So obviously, yeah. So they people want to know what's going on, right? So all these researchers are watching. Her body's on the machine, so clearly she's physically on the table, not moving. But her brain activity lit up in the areas of the brain that are associated with motion.
Whoa.
So, but I guess the question would be like, is that what happens when you dream as well?
Oh.
I just thought of that right now.
Well, they would have to have known that because sleep and stuff, I think, is very well studied.
Right. So I think that would be a different area probably of the brain, maybe for like imagination or see. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's associated with motion. So she's moving even though her physical body is there. So she, even if, and that's what's interesting, right? That's what makes you question, what is reality? So that's what the science isn't really, and that's why I get the chills, right? Science isn't saying it's not real, and that's, it's that we physically can't measure it or see it yet.
Yeah.
And what is, and then that goes back to the question, like, what is reality? Is reality perception or is it what we can see? But what if you can feel those things? Because people have shared feelings when they're in this astral projection. Okay. So what I wanted to say was, the shared feelings of reality, right? So, I was looking up, I was trying to figure out like, what does astral projection feel like?
Ooh.
So there's also very, like a lot of methods and I'm not going to say it cause I don't want to be responsible for anybody.
Yeah. You can look it up.
Astral projects. We'll have resources available online. I need to update the website. Side note, but we'll have, you can also Google it. There's so many books about it and people are very serious about it. And, so common feelings of when you're astral projecting. So once you do reach that point of leaving your body. So some people say that it feels like vibrations in your body. So you could literally feel, remember I was talking about that vibrational, the interpenetrating, what was it called? It was layers, kind of a weird layers. So that vibration or pleasant tingling, you could also feel paralysis. So if you get stuck, kind of like sleep paralysis is very normal. So you might feel stuck and they say, don't panic. It's okay. Here are some techniques to get out of that. Go listen to our sleep paralysis episode if you're not sure. Some people's heart can get racing because they can start to see things or, you know, maybe it's too much and overwhelming. Some people feel buzzing or even they hear whooshing like in their ear as if they're traveling. Like when you're traveling really fast, maybe on a bike or something, and you hear like the whoosh in your ear, they hear that, which is like pretty trippy.
Dang.
Tingling, they might feel a sinking feeling. So like going into the, like their physical body is going into the bed as their astral body is lifting.
Dang.
Very creepy. Or they might feel floating. So they're levitating. That's like the actual astral body lifting up and going out of it. So it's kind of interesting, right? To think that your astral body will still have the sensations, even though you don't have the nerves in that astral body.
Mm-hmm.
We're still able to hear the senses and see, you know, use your senses in that way, but not being, and so that's like the whole thing of like, what is,
yeah,
like, is it your astral body's using your physical body? It's like a tool to do these things. I just thought of that as I'm saying this, but versus your body is the one being able to do it, but rather it's just the anatomical parts that keep you physically alive to do things in this world, but really you can elevate to a different world without your body. And so that goes into why people like to astral project, right? Because it kind of it lets them know that they can be immortal. And some people believe that your astral body is where you begin before you are born.
Oh, okay.
That you're there and then you come into your physical body. And then when you die, you go back into your astral body. So that's kind of interesting. It's also a lot of people try to find their purpose. So where I thought this was going to be scarier, it ended up being much like, it's from a very like positive enlightening context where people find peace and beauty and ideas. And there's this one, a neurosurgeon named Dr. Eben Alexander, who has literally dedicated his life to understanding and exploring astral, like with astral projections himself. Would you like to hear about it?
Yeah. Is he modern day?
In 2008.
Okay.
So in 2008, this doctor went into a week-long coma after he got an unexplained brain infection, which was a form of spontaneous E. coli meningitis.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Right?
Spontaneous.
And he's a neurosurgeon of all people. That seems so ironic. Right? Like the person who knows that it's bad is like, oh, no, this is not great. Typically 1 in 10 million get that per year. So it's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And there's a 90% mortality rate.
Oh, nice.
So you basically are guaranteed, not guaranteed. That sounds really mean. Most people die when they do get this. But he woke up. Hmm. And when he woke up, he claimed to have, quote, profound memories of a journey deep into another realm. And now he uses, he basically, like, his life was changed. Actually, that was a quote by the article, not by him personally. But he had that. He went and astral projected. And since then, he now uses what are called binaural beats based audio recordings, which are like those healing sounds or the theta state, which Kathy Heller talks about a lot in her podcast, because like she does some like therapy and retreat and whatnot, to travel and explore non-physical aspects of consciousness. So that consciousness being the outer, they call them different astral planes. So like his experience is super weird. He like tells, he has a whole website and a book and whatnot, and about how he went into a coma and he was expecting to like feel just nothing, like feel like what he would imagine being dead feels like. And yet he was in a different realm the whole time. And I think like remember him describing it, like not feeling, he didn't like speak, like there was language and humans, like nothing existed anymore. It was very early, primitive, just like sounds and motions, which is funny because there's an episode of SpongeBob where they go back in time and it's like, it kind of reminded me of that. There's an episode where they're in a time machine and they open the door to the time machine. It's just like, and it's like shapes and stuff. So like imagining that's like what that episode, if that, you know how cartoons sometimes are actually way smarter than they act like they are, if that's what that was referring to. And I was like, hey, I've seen that somewhere. SpongeBob. So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, he was, most people take a very long time to recover and he recovered right away. And so he's wondering if that had anything to do with it, that experience, basically.
Wow.
And he said that when he went into the astral projection, he, there were no recollections. This is from his website, quote, no recollections whatsoever for my life before coma, including language and any knowledge of humans or even this universe. That, quote, scorched earth intensity was the setting for a profound spiritual experience that took me beyond a space and time to what seemed like the origin of all existence.
Whoa.
Like, for people to have that, that insane of a description, must have seemed some crazy. And to remember it. And to remember it, which is unlike most dreams. Or even, I feel like, lucid, I mean, I don't know what the definition of lucid dreaming is, but in that regard, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He describes it as an unresponsive realm, quote, the earthworm's eye view, from which he apparently was rescued by a slow spinning clear white light associated with a musical melody that served as a portal up into rich and ultra real realms. That's a tongue twister. he said it was filled with earth-like spiritual features, vibrant and dynamic plant life, flowers and buds blossoming richly with no signs of death or decay, waterfalls into sparkling crystal pools, and thousands of beings dancing below with great joy and festivity. Wow. Kind of reminds me of like what I'd imagine Avatar, the movie Avatar. I'm like, if that was heaven or that realm, I would gladly go there. Yeah. What if that was what they were going through? What if they were astral projecting through that little... their hair.
I haven't seen that either.
What? So. Sorry. Oh, that's a good one. It's been a minute. That was very more sciencey. But anyways, he goes on to describe a very, and you can look on his website, a very, very vivid, happy, loving environment that he experienced, which I think would be kind of a bummer to wake up from.
I know.
I mean, of course, like it's great that he woke up from his coma, but that's why people tend to, when they have those experiences, they then become so obsessed with it that they do dedicate their lives like him to going back to that. Kind of like having a really good dream and you're like, that was the best dream ever. I want to go back. Most of the time we can't. But in these contexts, I think they try to. And they're also saying how like your mindset and your feelings going into that are what are going to dictate how your experience is. And so there is like a dark side.
Yeah.
Do you have stories about the dark side?
Yeah.
Perfect. This could be a good transition. So then there's a story about the dark side. And if you're in that bad state or you're open to that, then that is what can happen. Do, do, do. Go, Katie, go.
Do you want me to do like all of it? Because it's kind of...
Is it a lot?
Yeah.
I like it.
Want to know more about us and stay in the loop?
Join our YNP listener letter, where we will keep you up to date on new episodes,
give you access to choose episode topics,
and share some behind the scenes.
You'll see it in your inbox first.
You can join our email list by signing up on our website, www.yournotparanoid.com.
See you there.
Hey friend, we want you to be part of our podcast.
Share a story, topic idea, or a question you'd like us to answer, and we'll feature you on the podcast.
Send it to us at yournotparanoid@gmail.com or over on Instagram at yournotparanoid, and we'll share it on the show.
Want to hear your own voice on the episode? Now you can leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/YNP.
Our pod is your pod. Anchor is our new hosting site for You're Not Paranoid. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Why, you may ask? It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Now back to the good stuff.
So I got this from artifactsjournal.missouri.edu.
Nice, Missouri.
A Journey to the Other Worlds.
Ooh.
So just briefly, in Egypt, there was something called the Ka, which was not the soul of a man, but its vehicle. In the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad, his astral body travels in the stories of Isra and Miraj. Mm-hmm. Astral bodies or projections appear in Hindu scriptures, Taoist practice, and even Christianity. And many religions describe a common pattern of ascent or a mystical out-of-body experience where the spiritual traveler leaves the physical body and travels in their subtle body into higher realms.
That's like what I was saying earlier. That's funny.
So I don't know. I just think it's kind of interesting that like so many different religions have this like common thread.
Yes.
And so I was thinking like, what if everyone is quote right, like mm-hmm. in their religion?
Yeah.
And that like when we do, our physical body does die, maybe like all of our spirits do end up in some
universal, like,
different realm, whatever you want to call it. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That just like so many.
That's like my favorite part about history, because I don't like history most of the time unless you're talking about it. Then I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This is actually fascinating. But when you find shared things like that across the different continents and across times. Different times. Yes. And religion and language. It's such a wild ride of how can't this be real if it's shared for what feels like ubiquitously across mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. And it's like, who's to say, you know, like the more ancient like cultures and stuff, maybe they were more in tune with that realm or, you know, spirituality or whatever you want to call it.
Maybe that's why all of this technology is coming into play to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
This is where conspiracies come into play. This is just us having fun. But yeah, to distract us from that. And we literally are removed from that.
Yeah. So like, that's pretty crazy. The only other thing that I was looking at in terms of like specific things was on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up astral projection, it kind of goes into the different like religions accounts. But I kind of just, because my story, like the story I was going to do, is kind of long.
That's okay.
So, I mean, you can look up, like, there's different beliefs, like in the Amazon, like Inuit groups and Japanese mythology, Hinduism. And a lot of it that made it to, like, the Western, like, world is kind of more of that, like, yoga, meditation type of
we took the physical parts out of the spiritual part, kind of seems like.
To like get into a deep meditative state to astral project. But yeah, it basically has been around for as long as the written language has been.
Wow. Documenting it. Probably even longer than that because they just wrote it down at one point, right? That's the wild. I find that so wild. It's like you have to know pretty damn well what's going on if you're going to write it down.
Yeah. Or that just, it was that important in your culture.
Ah, I like that. That's a good point too. Not everybody just writes everything down. And if they do, only the important things are passed on at least.
Yeah.
To the next generation. Like this diary entry looks pretty convincing. Let's use this one.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So should I go into my story? Do you want to go into yours?
My story was kind of about Dr. Eben Alexander. So I'd like to hear. He goes into quite detail that I couldn't put into my own words because they're literally just crazy. Not crazy. Next level magical is the only way else I can describe that. It just sounds like Avatar, the movie. I mean, you could remember what it looked like, right? Yeah. It's just like bright colors, beautiful, like surreal.
Interesting. So my story is called The Hades Experiment. And I got this from Medium.com.
I like Medium.com.
So this kind of is like, how can astral projection be used for questionable reasons? Let's go back to the height of the Cold War. In the 1960s, the Soviets were very interested in parapsychology. They had over 20 centers for the study of parapsychology phenomena. Supposedly, they had conducted successful long-distance telepathy. Oh no, telepathic experiments between Leningrad and Sevastopol.
I'm guessing those are far away from each other.
I would think so. Not an expert on Russian geography.
Well, Russia's big, so that could be really far. Yeah.
And that was according to a report by the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. So the Russians said that thoughts and or spirits could travel because of what they called, quote, bioplasma, which they defined as an organized system of electromagnetic particles that were invisible to the naked eye. And so this very much scared the U.S. because they thought that if the Soviets could isolate this bioplasma, that they could, or that it would be proof of long-standing theories or legends of what they called a silver cord. And so this means that the world is scaffolded by these astral planes and that one's spirit was capable of entering and traveling long distances through this these different spectral planes. And the silver cord was what tethered the spirit to its physical anchor, which was the human body.
Yeah.
So they were saying too that when you're the spirit or the astral body or whatever you wanted to call it, came back through its tethered silver cord, it would return with the new knowledge of wherever it went.
Yeah.
Kind of like you were saying. So the fear was that the Soviets were developing, quote, psychic spies that could harness these astral projections.
Oh boy.
So can you imagine like the 1960s and like the US and the Soviets were not only like arming themselves with nuclear weapons, but they were also trying to like psychologically like develop these methods for like infiltrating.
That'd be a really good story to like leak to the media just to instill that paranoia. Like, they can literally see what we're doing at all times.
Yes, it happened.
Like, even if it wasn't real.
Okay, so that's kind of the background. So this story, it's I would highly suggest reading this article. It's really crazy. So we have a few characters. There's Edward Pullman, who is the director of Southwest Hypnosis Research Center in Dallas. And he thought, or like he recognized that the Soviets were at least 25 years ahead of them in this research field. So he was pretty scared.
I feel like it's time to get scared when the experts are scared.
Well, I mean, yeah. He feared that psychic spies were coming into the intelligence briefings, and that there was really no defense for that. So, I mean, you can't just build like walls or whatever.
Yeah, they can go through the walls. Yeah.
And so he began experimenting on with a 37-year-old woman named Beverly Chalker. And then one of the projection travels or trips or whatever you want to say, she went from Dallas to New Jersey and she found herself in some dude's house and like watched him.
Ew.
And this is a part where I don't know how, but supposedly Pullman's team was able to corroborate like that man's existence. So I don't know if she had a specific enough experience where she knew like the address or something.
Yeah.
But supposedly they confirmed that this guy was a real person. And then there's another researcher named Dr. Eugene Bernard. Mm-hmm. And he was at North Carolina State University. And he was doing experiments kind of similar to Pullman. He had a young girl astral project. And kind of like what you were saying, they did like these tests where his other researchers hid stuff. And so this young girl was asked to find like a hidden number. I don't know if they told her where, but so she,
hard.
I think they told her like, we've hidden a piece of paper with a number on it here. So can you astral project and go read it to us or like, remember
tell
it,
us that
come
number.
Back into your body and tell us. And she was able to. It was a 5-digit number hidden high on a shelf. And like during her quote sleep, like she astral projected. And when she woke up, she was able to tell them the number.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool. I hope that's real.
We would hope because these are, you know, quote unquote, like scientists, researcher people.
Right.
And the CIA then invested $25 million into the Stanford Research Institute, which got a group of what the article called colorful specialists. Cause you know, this is kind of like hippy dippy.
Right.
Like, so I'm imagining like, you know, some like out there, you know, scientists kind of, you know,
for their time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the dudes brought in by the CIA was Pat Price, a 54-year-old former police commissioner, who was said by a fellow experimenter to be, quote, one of our most gifted practitioners.
Ooh.
So let's see what he's done. Well, so I guess what the CIA was trying to do was, kind of combat the Soviets. So they kind of ran similar experiments where they would hide. Well, this one is interesting because I don't think they necessarily hid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like go infiltrate like whatever defense like apartment or not apartment department and like read us back some of the papers that were laying on the desk or something like that.
That would be easy. Can you make that up? If they don't know.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, I guess their blinded study because it wasn't like set up for the traveler.
Right.
So this dude is named Inyo Swan. I don't know how to say his first name. It's Ingo. So I don't know if it's like Ingo or like Inyo something. Anyways.
Ingo.
Ingo Swan. He was 40. And so he was known in the group as the one that could, he was really good at projecting and then coming back and being able to like draw maps of the buildings or like the areas he was in. So they're
that's
like,
cool.
Ooh, that's a very good skill for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things he did was he went into a, it was some sort of US like military type of place.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered seeing documents and papers that were identifying the location as either Haystack or Hayfork. And he drew some maps when he came back. So then some dude named, not a dude, he was a commander named George Long of the National Intelligence Strategy.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, the article is funny. It's like that he traveled the old-fashioned way. So he physically went to this location that Ingo had supposedly gone.
Uh-huh.
And so he checked the maps of Swan, and he said like when he got to this place, the guide was telling him like, oh, this is our haystack facility. So it was kind of like
that was improving himself.
Yes. So then the CIA was like, oh shit, like
you're real,
like we're on to something. And kind of like the other, like, oh shit, like who's to say the Soviets like haven't already been here?
Who's to say that Ingo, or if that was him, hadn't already been to Haystack?
I mean, these are probably some of the questions
that we all have. Yeah,
you know.
Or we can just be believers.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
We'll see. So let's see. I think at this point, some of this research was starting to get like you were saying, I don't know, leaked, or it was just becoming popular in society.
Mm-hmm.
So there was other people that were trying it that weren't quote unquote experts. And they were kind of, they started giving warnings of like, I tried and then I felt stuck and I couldn't get back to my body, and like other red flags that were being reported upon. There was that. Okay, so this dude is the interesting one. He is named Robert, also can't probably pronounce the last name, Otto Sizik. He was a vegetarian and beekeeper.
He was way ahead of his time. but he'd be stoked in today's age.
Yeah, but apparently had the body of a linebacker, I think is what they said. So he was really into this astral projecting as well, but he wasn't really associated with any of these like research groups. He just found out about it on his own. But so this is kind of like the dark side of it. He, after, you know, he was pretty good at doing it, and so after a while in his like physical state, he started hearing like some beckonings.
The secret word is beckonings.
Or like having a like a not a premonition, but like a feeling that like this woman was calling him.
Ooh.
And he was just like, wow, like I think this astral projecting is so powerful that I like I'm hearing my soulmate, or you know, like something through the astral planes.
Yeah.
And so he got like really excited, and he thought that it was some sort of like transcendent love and blah blah blah. Like he was so excited, and so he was like, I have to find her. And he thought like the only way he could do it was through the astral projections. And so he was like, he told his roommate, and this was 1975, and he was like, dude, like, don't bother me. Like, I'm going to be in my room, but, you know, you can't bother me. And so he goes into his, like, meditative state and astral projects to go find his love. But 3 days later, and his roommate still hasn't heard from him. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go bother him. And so he goes into his room, and he is lying there, not moving. But so it's weird. His hands are like clasped together and like on his forehead, and he's smiling, and he looks very like at peace and like frozen in time, but he is deceased. And so,
ooh,
I know, isn't that weird? And so like the police come, and they're like, they're so confused, because, you know, it's like this vegetarian, like super healthy in shape dude was like really into yoga and meditation, and he just, you know, seemingly dies out of nowhere,
like in his sleep. Yeah.
But just to me, the like his hands and like smiling. So then it's kind of like, oh, well, maybe he did meet his soulmate and he just didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
Because that's some of the things I was reading in this article. And like you were saying, if something is so great in some other plane, maybe the spirit or whatever is just like, nah, I'm not coming back to Earth.
Well, like this, you, your conscious, because that's your consciousness is choosing to stay. I heard too that I didn't say it, but I didn't find any like specific details. So I feel like it's not like you have to really dig in to find like the rules and all that. these books, I'm sure, say it, but there's like a certain amount of time it takes that you have until you have to get back to your body to come back. And that's where like Insidious kind of played off of that scary movie where the astral body was lost. The boy was stuck and the dad had to go find him.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's kind of like,
yeah. So then
I'm going to get stuck in there.
Yeah. So that's pretty, that's crazy. So, but then the article is like, but who was actually beckoning him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So flashback to the history part. Where is it? Because this article is kind of like, it jumps all around.
I like articles that do that.
Projection had taken its first human life that was known. So then that's where it kind of starts going into like, then there's like this panic of like, oh my gosh, like astral projecting is very dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And there are the experts that say it does take a really long time and you need to be careful how you do it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So even, I guess it's kind of, there was somewhere in this article that even the really famous, paranormal couple that did the
Conjuring?
Yes. That couple, I guess.
Oh, I know their names.
I know. It's somewhere Conjuring in this article. I didn't write it down. Couple. But even they started.
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yes. Even they started talking about it on their tours. So there's kind of like the paranormal aspect of it. And yeah, that makes sense because you could argue that maybe that's, you know, if the spirits do like go somewhere else, they're not necessarily like dead or whatever. Yeah. That one of those planes could be like an afterlife type of thing.
What if that's what ghosts are? It's just the astral bodies trying to escape or enter that next realm.
Yes.
But they're stuck in ours and we can't see them, but we can feel them or hear them.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's kind of the creepy part. Dun, 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 dun. But apparently, Robert Antoszczyk was not the only person. They say some guy in the 1970s died apparently after he combined astral projection with some extremely dangerous experiments in suspended animation. Mm. So then
suspended animation.
Yes.
Ooh, that just that alone is like, ugh.
So the idea was that some parapsychologists and true believer scientists, their fears were being realized because they kind of had a hypothesis that the Soviets and the Americans, and then it kind of becoming popularized, they theorized that this astral plane was actually getting like bombarded with too many, you know, souls
astral
or bodies.
Yeah.
That was why people were, you know, either dying or getting stuck or, you know, being comatose, was because it was too much traffic for their astral body to find
their way back.
Their way back. So that was kind of something that they thought.
Yeah.
So apparently the hearing the voices type of thing is also not uncommon. So researchers that kind of know the history of this, you know, astral projecting or, you know, whatever the ancient peoples called it, the Egyptians had a name for this woman, this temptress.
Wait, is this going to be like the other one we've talked about? Can I
Which
keep
one?
Going? No, it's okay. It's like a witch that like...
But see, that's the thing of like, this is also another common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying the Insidious had a witch.
Yeah.
Like that is part of the, like,
that's like a known
history.
And she's like a woman. I just got the chills. It also reminds me of, what's that house, Winchester House, where it's like a woman wearing like a black veil over her face. I have such deep chills right now. And she's just like standing there. Oh
yeah. Cause I mean, you have to take the good with the bad. So if there's very common, themes of, you know, the afterlife or, you know, ascending into this other realm that's really peaceful and happy, you'd have to assume that the stories of, you know, the dark side of it,
exists.
You know, has to exist too.
Oh.
So the Egyptians called her Amut, A-M-M-U-T, and she was an ancient female demoness that was called the Destroyer of Souls. who existed in the astral planes and what they called the Hall of Two Truths. So apparently this area in the astral plane is where the, you know, good and bad split.
Ooh.
And so that's where she hangs out.
She's like, pick your poison.
Yeah. She's like the gatekeeper.
Oh.
And so she would consume souls that she came upon to absorb their power. And she was a shapeshifter. And so she would attract these souls by appearing as a beautiful goddess.
Ooh, and, but know, she's a really a demoness. Oh,
yeah,
luring I like the them. S parts. Mm-hmm.
So in the Egyptian writings and stuff, she is portrayed as like her true self as a monster, which combines the head of a reptile with the body of a lion and a hippopotamus,
ooh,
which were the ancient symbols of animal ferocity. So the experts kind of were like, oh shoot, like this dude was like called by her and, you know, ends up dying. So whether or not,
like, yeah, which did he live?
What happened to that dude?
Yeah. Or is he still stuck in there? Imagine going, maybe that's what near-death experiences are too, when they see a loved one that's the astral body that's there and they're able to see them for a minute and then come ooh back.
Yeah. I don't know. It's creepy. And so then this article talks about another woman who kind of is a similar thing where she just wants to, or, you know, out of curiosity starts astral projecting and she gets pretty good at it. And then she starts hearing a voice and it's different. Because she is a nurse and that voice is telling her like, hey, like if you come back to the astral plane, like I will teach you how to save like so many humans. So it's almost like it picks
ew
your like passion or whatever. You
like what you're seeking most. Yes. So the guy was looking for like a lover mm-hmm and then for her, it's like saving people.
Yeah. So she kind of becomes obsessed with it, tells her husband and the voice is apparently leading her. And they end up going on like a 6-month road trip that leads them to some wooded area in the middle of winter. And they just are like in their car and the husband starts getting freaked out. And she's like, no, no, no. Like they're saying they're almost here. They're almost here. And he's like, who's they? And like, you know, what's happening? And so then the story goes in the article that a passerby on the road sees this like dude crawling out of the snow like from a nightmare and it's the husband and he's like, you have to get me help, like my wife, like something happened to her. And so then he leads them like the authorities back to the car and she's also dead. And so it's
what?
Just like so weird.
It almost sounds like it could be like mental health misunderstood mm-hmm also in
yes
parallel. Like you're talking about hypnotizability and like the wanting to believe. And then that could be like, not to make it bring science and make it not fun anymore, but like a paranoid schizophrenia mm-hmm almost, where you are hearing voices and are becoming obsessed combined with that ability to access mm-hmm that. But some people think that quote unquote mental disabilities are actually a different way of you know, a whole other realm of, just a different access that we don't have. And that's what makes it a disability because it's not normal. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of
so weird.
Isn't that so strange?
And the fact that like it's not someone physically like controlling them. It's like they're doing it to themselves.
They just
mm-hmm are somehow dead.
Yeah. And that's, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I mean that the husband never went to jail or anything. So, you know, it was proven that he didn't kill her.
Like she died in her sleep.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, there's one other, remember we're talking about like the like your mindset can make a difference on your experience as well. I was just going to say, they say that there are lower density beings that exist in the astral planes, which is mm-hmm probably like that witch lady or the mm-hmm demoness that some people think are actually real, like her, that are in that astral plane. And that when you're scared and you're stuck in there, you have to remember the law of, there's like different laws within the astral community apparently, and the law of free will, where an entity can't affect you unless you give it consent to do so.
Ooh.
So in that regard, I bet this kind of ties together where that woman and that man, both like the nurse and the beekeeper guy, maybe were giving consent in a mm-hmm way that they didn't actually know what the consent was for. But it's like, take caution anytime you do come across a being because you don't know what you're consenting to, really.
Ooh, that's creepy. Because, I mean, even in Christianity, because I remember, like, growing up, they would say, like, you know, the devil has no power over you unless, like, you give it. So it's, like,
kind of all it's tied. Ooh, gives me the chills.
So that's kind of the scary. Oh, yeah. And then let me find the other thing, too. Oh, where is it? Sorry.
It's okay.
Where is that part then? Oh, I have to find the one story, but apparently that this, like, kind of danger or, like, the dark side of it was very real, and supposedly the Soviets were even leaking to, like, American spies or, like, the American embassy of, like, hey, get this message to, like, whoever's studying it, like basically don't fuck around with this stuff. Like
we're, even they were telling
like we're
others.
Seeing it too. And it's like, this is way beyond just like our little like
experiment,
like, you know, whatever Cold War, like who's the boss type of thing. They're like, this is beyond that. And you guys need to be really careful. So there was like even that communication going on. So it's kind of creepy. I can't find it and it's really annoying, but apparently the dude that I talked about earlier, Pat Price, he also died in a very mysterious way.
Ew.
So there's like a lot of these, you know,
coincidental, quote unquote coincidental.
Yes.
Death.
And, but the other thing that's kind of interesting too, sorry, I'm kind of like bouncing around
dead.
With how the article goes. Apparently like these CIA groups also had like Egyptologists like on the standby in case they needed help, like in terms of, you know,
interpreting.
Yeah. Or like going through like ancient Egyptian texts to see like, hey, like this astral projector is claiming that they saw this, this, and this, like, is there anything like that you guys know of that's talked about? That, you know, so they could kind of combat it.
Yeah.
So they were kind of aware of these ancient either myths or, you know, writings.
Hey, if you're going into a different realm, you want all the answers, even if it sounds ridiculous, because what if you do come across a demoness or something like a monster? I don't know. Like, you just, you don't know until you're there, and you kind of want to know ahead of time, right?
Yeah, because they do, there was mentioning of like an ancient Egyptian scribe who supposedly did astral project and met her. And but he like made it out safely somehow.
Yeah.
But he wrote about it. Also, this was so popular that a few serial killers were keen to astral project, including Manson, a dude named Herbert Mullen, and David Berkowitz, who was the son of Sam. Herbert Mullen was, he murdered 13 people and was supposedly a practiced astral projector. And kind of, so this is just kind of like an interesting side note, is that serial murderers supposedly, because I mean, who knows if it was really tracked before the 1980s, but it was exploding and peaked in the 1980s with an estimated 200 serial killers terrorizing the United States alone. So could it be this astral projecting craze? I don't know. It was just kind of thrown into this article. Like oh, by the way.
Just coincidentally. Yeah. Like,
So, and just as quickly as this craze started, whether or not the U.S. government shut it down or what, but it just as quickly faded. Like all the, there's these certain cassette tapes that were available, disappeared, like all the books out of print. And then the government, because I think they were kind of, you know, admitting that like, yes, we're working on this, but the Soviets are too, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they just all of a sudden out of nowhere reverse and be like, no, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, stop talking about it. And then they even made a statement reversing, because I think they basically said that the Robert Antonczyk's death was like unexplained. Mm-hmm. After the like this little time period into the late 70s, they come out and say like, no, actually it was a cocaine overdose, and like cover it up. And the family and friends of Robert's are like adamant that he was not using drugs. He was very like into, you know, the health craze, and he would never do that to his body. So that's that. And then it's just so weird how like just all the like it just all stops.
This is what my theory is. I didn't read about this. I just thought of it when you were saying it, because it would make sense. What if they have utilized, what if the government, this is all conspiracy, has accessed it properly and has, you know, they feel like they're deep into it. And that's why they stopped and rejected everything, because they don't want the public to have access to it, because they are utilizing it for their military / whatever needs.
Yes. It's almost like they gaslit the general public, because it was like all this like well-documented things, like you can trace the money to where they like invested in these research groups.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, never mind. Like, oh, it's not real. Like, we're not like going to study it anymore.
Kind of on par with like Area 51 and like all those kinds of things.
Well, and that's the theory, or like that's what people say, is that at least the U.S. military government is so far in the future of technology that it wouldn't be surprising. And there are other conspiracies. There are other conspiracies too about time traveling and how the government has harnessed that ability as well.
Ew. So that'd be a good episode as well. If we haven't talked about time travel specifically, right?
Because I remember hearing on And That's Why We Drink, they did that. Mm-hmm. Like this specific like story, and it's like it's that thing of conspiracy theories, man, where it's like
just enough
where you could be like, huh, like I wouldn't actually be surprised. Mm-hmm. You know,
just believable enough. Mm-hmm. That it makes sense. Yeah, that's what I remember. I feel like we've talked about this, where it's like Apple and other technology companies are saying that they have technology that we're not ready for, and so that's why they haven't brought it out yet. Well, yeah. Also finances and making money
and they demographics, because they say that it's like the older generations are the ones with the most money. Mm-hmm. And like it was an article I was reading about advanced car technologies and self-driving cars, and they're like, the only reason we don't have all this technology available is because the older people won't be able to, or it'll be harder for them to use it. So
I mean, if they keep clicking the mouse when it's still loading, then they're definitely not gonna be able to handle self-driving cars. Like, stop clicking, it's still, the page is still loading. Clicking back is just gonna make it take longer. That's so funny.
So that's my story about the Cold War and astral projecting.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. And I feel like we're talking too with the astral planes. I was realizing like as we were talking about it that I think there are different planes and levels, kind of like what we've talked in the past about electrons jumping to the next level. I think you can do that with your astral body, where there's like the physical world where they can see, but then they can go to different planes. And maybe if you have zero contact, like that Dr. Eben, Alexander, was able to access like the most primitive maybe plane, because mm-hmm. he was actually comatose. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. How, like your body can, and your astral body can travel based on what inputs you probably have and mm-hmm. what you're ready to accept.
And then who's to say if governments do know how to use it, then they might even have put like gatekeepers in those.
Did you read that? And no. Anywhere? Yeah, I was reading that people have seen, like people who are experienced have come across like Green Beret-esque astral guards. Yeah, where they aren't able to go to certain places within. But who's to say they're imagining that versus, yeah.
Or it could be a demon or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude.
So you literally just like hit that. I was going to say that at one point. I forgot.
That gave me the chills.
Yeah. And that's kind of reminds me of like the Matrix. Like in the Matrix, there's certain boundaries and rules mm-hmm. you have to follow. So who's to say that's not being
and then controlled? Like who's to say once they feel like it's safe, then it's like little articles, you know, get out here and there. Like, mm-hmm. oh, hey, it's safe to astral project again.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And then they control it and where you can mm-hmm. or cannot astral project. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. My boyfriend was just talking about kind of similar but different, same. One of the newer technology spaces and like investing is like in virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get what he was saying like 100%, but apparently like Atari and different gaming companies have built these like virtual lands that are like finite amounts of space that like companies are now like buying space in.
Like real estate in virtual reality.
And like you can all, and it has its own currency. And so now, like nowadays people can, and he did it, like you can buy like quote unquote like stocks or, you know, like how cryptocurrency, it's like a virtual reality cryptocurrency that you can invest in now.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
This reminds me so much of Black Mirror. I've been trying to, I think this is it, where there's an episode where like they're in a virtual reality, so similar concept in a virtual reality, but like they put on these little like pods, which you could imagine kind of like AirPods, but they go on your temples mm-hmm. and they elevate their whatever. And it's kind of like astral projection, but it's also like virtual reality, but they are themselves like their consciousness is able to enter like the video game as a different person. And then they can go around kind of like a Sims game, but mm-hmm. virtual reality, but you're actually in the game. So you physically are the character running around and you can see yourself and be whoever and look however you want, even if it's not really what you look like. And what ends up happening, spoiler alert, in the last episode, if I remember correctly, I think it's the last episode where it ends up being like two dudes who are friends and like, oh, let's play the virtual game. And they're like fighting. One's playing like he's a guy and the other one's playing that they're a girl and they make love in the virtual game because there's no limits as to what you can mm-hmm. do. And so they're like, it's weird because they're like, you know, really attractive girl, really attractive guy. And in real life, they're just like two random dudes who are like really good friends. And so the guy's like, oh, I'm going to go on my game now. Like, and she thinks he's like playing fighting video games or whatever. Mm. And they can actually feel everything, which is why when they have sex and make love, it feels good. And then they're like questioning themselves entirely. Uh-huh. Like, wait, like what is this? Like, I thought we're like, I'm not gay. Are you gay? No, I'm not gay. And they actually meet up in person and try to like kiss. Like, we need to know if this is real or not. And it's not. But in the game, like they themselves are in love. So this is like a total sidetrack. But anyways, I was just totally like my mind was blown by that episode because it's like, what is like
reality?
What is reality? Because in their mind, that is their reality. And so by the end of the episode, the wife finds out that that's what's happening. And so she takes off her wedding ring and goes and does whatever she wants first. Because it's like, is he really cheating if mm-hmm. it's virtual? But the answer, I think, is yes. And she gets to go have her night out with her friends with her ring off. And his night off, I guess, is making love to his virtual best friend. It's so weird and uncomfortable, but it makes you question things, mm-hmm. right? But like, yeah, that whole concept of like virtual reality versus consciousness, I think it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
Because you yourself, like, it can't be perceived as virtual unless your consciousness sees it that way.
Yeah.
But then if it's a reality, then it's what you've envisioned. So I feel like if you break it down, it's like mind blowing.
Dude, that's so weird.
Right.
And that's like probably our near future too.
Oh yeah.
At least the virtual part.
Yeah.
But
and that's like where like Wall-E comes into play and people live these virtual lives and they're like little chairs, right?
I haven't seen that either.
I feel like maybe they're not virtual, but that's what it will turn into. They stop walking. And so they just become really large and they're eating all the time and moving around on their little chairs with their anyways. And then we'll all just not be who we are. And we'll perceive ourselves as that of the avatar, which I think people who get obsessed with video games probably envision as well.
Mm-hmm.
and wild.
Yeah.
Dang. We took that to several several levels. But what if it's all connected? That's what we're saying.
Yeah. And who's to say it's not? I don't know.
Government? Yeah. Like, really, don't look into this. It's not what you think. It's not real.
You're going to have to pay taxes in both planes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. It's crazy. So that just goes to show, like, that. And I think that's why people are so obsessed with it, because it really is an uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out.
Yeah. And, like, part of, like, the, like, purpose in life, and I think a very natural fear of dying, and like, what, you know, if I just die at the end of my life, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, trying to find the meaning. And
mm-hmm. So like that astral projection allows the finding of that purpose and knowing that you can exist beyond your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
It's creepy.
And that's our podcast. Things we find creepy.
Yeah. But
we want to talk about and want you to know about. So tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Have you astral projected? I don't know if I would be really willing to.
I think it would be kind of interesting to try.
First watch Behind Her Eyes and then let me know what you think. Yeah. And Insidious. I feel like those are the two that you have to watch so that you know what you're getting yourself into.
Well, I mean, I would take the expert's advice seriously in that you have to, it's something you have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, just don't go willy-nilly.
It's not easy, actually, mm-hmm. from what I've read and even in these movies and shows. Like, it's really difficult. Takes a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of like that thing I was mentioning about the guided meditation where you supposedly meet your spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
That's also something you have to be very skilled at, because there are the darker forces. And who knows, it might just be different names for the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
meditating, astral projecting,
virtual reality. Yeah. They're just putting a nicer name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's more to this story that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Well, until next time. Tell us, though, for listeners, if you've astral projected or have feedback and or corrections. Mm-hmm. Or things that you've experienced or that you're like warnings against.
Mm-hmm.
If you're from the government, we don't care. We don't want to be shut down. Unless you're going to leak us information anonymously, please tell us. We're mm-hmm. welcome to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We won't tell.
We won't tell. Except, well, to our listeners, we won't tell who you are.
Yeah.
You can email us at yournotparanoid@gmail.com. So thank you for mm-hmm. listening.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
During the episode, we shared this week's secret word. Did you hear it?
Every Friday, we'll post a story on Instagram at You're Not Paranoid, and we'll ask you for the secret word.
All you have to do is go to that Instagram story and reply with the week's secret word. Then you're officially entered to win the YNP sticker pin pack.
Listen to the following Monday's episode, and if you hear your Instagram handle, then you're the winner of the week.
The sticker pin packs are super rad, so get listening. Hey, we just wanted to let you know how much we appreciate your support. If you are enjoying the podcast and want to support us,
give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Every rating and review helps us grow our podcast and grow our community.
Thanks again.